I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read a little bit more than what it says in the bulletin. I'm going to read Luke chapter 1 and verses 1 through 13, and the first four verses are really kind of an introduction. Hear now the word of God. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus. And by the way, the name Theophilus means lover of God. So that's you. To you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. In those days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The season of Advent, from a traditional Christian perspective, is all about longing, all about yearning. But it just so happens that there is a secular observance going on at the same time. And you're hearing a lot of messages right now encouraging you to get ready for a holiday called Christmas. And a few of you, I know that there's a few of you here who frankly are not well, and you've already completed all of your Christmas shopping, and the gifts are wrapped, and they're in a closet, and you're feeling really smug about that right now, and you should not. You're not well. The normal among us over the next 4 weeks are going to be out buying a lot of gifts and wrapping them and shipping them. And all of us are going to be putting up decorations. You're going to put up lights on the house, and you're going to put up the tree. And you're going to go to parties and eat too much, maybe host a few parties at your house. You're going to be out driving in really irritating traffic in really bad weather. And you're going to bake and prepare meals. You're going to reunite with family. In other words, by the 25th of December, you will be a wreck. And I'm really tempted at this point to say, just focus on the birth of Jesus and let everything else fall by the wayside. And that's probably not very realistic. Perhaps it's better to remember that Jesus will be present at every party you attend. He'll be there when you decorate the tree and when you put up the lights and when you gather at your holiday table. The coming of Jesus into the world transforms every day into a holy day. In a very real and profound sense, as Christians, we don't have set apart days, except for the Sabbath, because every day is holy, because God has entered our world and our daily lives in the person of Jesus. And another dynamic going on here, it may not always be, yes, there's going to be stress in the days ahead, but it may not always be spiritually healthy to run away from stress, because stress may be a gift from God to put us in touch with our longing. Why are we hustling and working so hard? What are we longing for? What are we searching for? And it's my prayer for you that this season of Advent will be a time of connecting with and knowing once again the deepest longing of your life. Now, Luke begins the story of Jesus not with Mary and Joseph, but with Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. Zechariah was a senior priest serving in the Jerusalem temple. It was a prestigious job, and both he and Elizabeth come from prestigious families. And Luke tells us of both of them, verse 6, they were righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all of the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But there was an empty place in their lives. They had no child. Now, today in our world, people can choose to be childless without any social stigma. And if people want to be parents and find difficulty with that, there's medical recourse that they can take, or there's adoption, or ultimately, for many folks, although it may be painful, to redirect the goals of their life, knowing that they're not going to be parents. But none of these were an option for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Their society had no concept of adoption. If a child ended up without parents, that child would go to someone in the extended family. It was simply assumed that the highest goal of life was to have children. Not only to have children, not only, well, for three reasons. They are social security in your old age. They keep the family name going, but most of all, children keep the precious covenant with God going. They are born children of the covenant. And through the ongoing generation after generation, God's covenant is extended. So when Luke tells us that Elizabeth and Zechariah were childless, he's really telling us they were hopeless. And it's safe to assume they had been praying for a long time. They are devout people. And over the years, those prayers have just been piling up and piling up. I picture Zechariah doing his priestly work in the temple and burning incense there and watching that smoke curl up toward heaven and his prayers just going right up along with that incense and just disappearing into the air. But they're still childless. And it's safe to assume that they got plenty of advice from family and friends. And it's safe to assume, and I'm assuming this because human nature has not changed. I'm assuming that they got plenty of advice, and I'm assuming that it was all worthless. Maybe you've sinned, and this is God's judgment. Well, no. Luke tells us they were blameless. And, oh my, how many people in the Bible get that said about them? Not very many. Maybe somebody said to them, you know, it's just the will of God. That by the way, then and now, is not only completely useless, it's arrogant and near blasphemous. You don't know the will of God for someone's life. Some explanations, no doubt, were subtly despairing. Don't worry about it, they would say. You have your health, and Zechariah has a wonderful career at the temple. I am certain that this devout couple was very grateful to God for all of the gifts that they had, and I'm also pretty certain they would have given up every one of those gifts to have a child. So the story of the birth of Jesus begins with longing, painful longing, heartbreaking longing. And if you would meet Jesus or be refreshed in your walk with him this Advent, you need to not run away from your longing, but move into it, uncover it, rediscover it. You know, most of our sins in life come from misdirected ways of trying to fulfill or avoid our longing, legitimate longing. A longing that God built into us, but we try to fill it in some way that's outside of God's intention for us. We work too hard, or we transfer our longings onto our poor children and mess up their lives with pressure to perform. Or we rush into bad relationships, or we make impulsive decisions. Or we begin to live to consume, thinking that if we just acquire one more thingamabob, it will fill that longing. Or after a time, we just become mean and cynical in our disappointment, with longings that we can no longer face. On a lighter note, think of the classic Christmas movies that you're going to be watching in the weeks ahead, or at least that I'll be watching, because I love cheesy old Christmas movies. Okay? It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, spends most of his life longing for adventure and for traveling the world, and all of it's denied him because he's trapped in Bedford Falls, right? Or think of little Natalie Wood, Miracle on 34th Street, longing, yearning for a family and a place to call home. Rudolph, yearning to be accepted, red nose and all. But there's something that these stories have in common, and yes, all of those Hallmark movies too. There's something they have in common, and that's an artificial happy ending. All longing resolved and fulfilled in the space of 90 minutes. And life just doesn't work that way. Maybe your longing is for intimacy. You may have been married for a long time and you're still longing for intimacy. Or maybe you're just longing for a true friend who will accept you exactly the way you are and know you as you are and still love you. Or maybe your longing is for health, just to get through one day without dealing with a body that's breaking down on you. Or maybe your longing is for a dream that's worthy. You figured out a long time ago how to make money, but maybe you still haven't figured out how to make a life, or how to make a life that has purpose in it and meaning. Maybe the dream was for a family and you got one and you're grateful, but now they're scattered all over the country and it's not what you dreamed. Maybe, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, you've just adjusted to your disappointment And by the way, what if, and this is certainly true in their case, what if the thing that you're longing for is just simply impossible at this point of the journey? Some longings are irrational. Have you ever longed for a better past? I have. Have you ever longed for more time with a loved one who has died? Have you longed for a do-over life to undo old sins? I have. Just because these longings are impossible, that doesn't stop us from longing. So what's the point of longing for a child when you're at the age of Zechariah and Elizabeth? Zechariah no doubt coped just by keeping busy and with his temple chores, and Elizabeth had her chores and responsibilities too and just kept her head down and kept busy. And isn't that what we're all going to do over the next 4 weeks? Just keep your head down and keep busy. But the good news of Jesus Christ reminds us that God entered our busyness. Jesus was born in Bethlehem because his parents had to hustle to get there because of a census. The Lord appeared to Zechariah as he was going about his priestly chores. And the first thing that God did was renew his completely unrealistic longing. An angel appeared to him and said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Our deepest longing is to know our Creator and to walk with him. That's what we were created for. As Augustine said, our hearts are restless until we rest in thee, Lord. C.S. Lewis said, "We yearn for a better world because we were made for a better world." Our deepest yearning is to live in a world filled with the presence of God. And in such a world, anything can happen. Nothing is impossible. Sin and failure can be redeemed. Broken lives can make a new beginning. Tattered old prayers can be answered. But usually not the way that we imagined. Zechariah and Elizabeth finally got their longed for child. And it's John the Baptist, who would never give them a grandchild, who would leave them to go off and live in the wilderness alone. Who would not keep the family name going. But he was the man who would prepare the way for the Messiah, for Jesus. In other words, Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for what they wanted, a child. But God was preparing to give them what they really needed, a Savior. Pray for what you want. Always pray for what you want. Don't be afraid to pray for what you want. Be prepared to receive what you truly need, which is a Savior who will enter into your life and make you new and whole and walk with you through the challenging journey of this life. Pray your longing. The yearning for a better childhood, better than the one you had, pray it. And that can prepare you to receive Jesus in a fresh way. Jesus who heals and forgives and redeems and can turn you toward a new future in spite of the past. The yearning to be a better parent can turn you toward Jesus, who alone can save your children. The yearning for better relationships can prepare you to receive Jesus. He alone fully accepts you as you are. And until you've met him and experienced his love and acceptance, you're never going to be much of a friend to others, because you're always going to be expecting them to be your Savior, and they're not qualified. The yearning for more meaningful work can prepare you to receive Jesus, who will give you the most meaningful work of all, being a part of the building of his kingdom that has no end. So I invite you, I challenge you this Advent to pay careful attention to your longing. Because if you do, it will lead you to Jesus. And he's the one you've been longing for all along. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh Lord Jesus, stir up a hunger in our hearts. We remember your promise, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they shall be satisfied. May we be satisfied with nothing less than you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you came among us to offer yourself so freely. And I pray for each one here that we would receive you in a fresh way right now, in this moment. And I pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.